Well, I'm thankful for each and every one that's made it out tonight, and we trust that you'll be blessed as a result of taking the time to spend an hour with us. We'll first start by speaking to the Lord in prayer. Father, we would come before thee again, and we would come with thankfulness. Thankfulness for thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful that he came into this world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And we would recognize very quickly that not all will be saved, but we do know that provision has been made for all through thy Son. And we would pray that tonight, if there's anyone here tonight who is not saved, that they would simply come to see that there's a God in heaven that loves them, cares for them, and that a sacrifice has been made for them at the cross at Calvary, and that simply by resting on this, they can know their sins forgiven. Father, we pray that thou wilt bless us tonight as we would look at thy word, and that we would learn again from thy word, and we would be guided by it. We would acknowledge that we are dependent upon thee in all these things. And so we confess our dependency, and we look unto thee to give help. And we ask these things in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight, my topic that I want to speak on is simply this: traditions. And when it comes to traditions, we know that each and every one of us, we have traditions. We have our own little personal traditions. We have our family traditions. And sometimes when it comes to, we could say, assembly or church, we have traditions there also. And I don't know what your thoughts are right now when you think of the word tradition, but I hope that you'll have a little bit of a better insight of what traditions are as a result of looking at the Word of God. Because I know that there was a time when I decided to look at the Word of God and find out, what is this about traditions? And I know that I learned a lot. And I hope that tonight we all might learn a little bit again. We're going to read in three books of the Bible, the Gospel of Mark, first of all. And we're going to look at traditions. And so as we read these portions, take note of the word as we come across it. So in Mark chapter 7, first of all, we see the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Pharisees and the scribes have come to him, and they're concerned that he is not keeping the traditions that they keep. Verse 5 of Mark chapter 7, we read, "Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him," that is, asked Jesus, "Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition?" So there we see that word, "according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands." He answered them and said unto them, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mayest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye." Now let's go to the letter to the Colossians. Apostle Paul's letter, we have 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, and we read in verse 8. Let's first actually start in verse 6 of Colossians chapter 2. It says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." So there we see the tradition of men. Now let's look lastly in 2 Thessalonians, in chapter 2, and then in chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2, verse 15, we read there, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." Now in chapter 3 there, we would read in verse 6, it says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us." And so we have just really read in three different places about traditions. And I would have to say that as I considered traditions many years ago, traditions was to me something that was done that, yeah, could be done, but really, whether it was going to be done or followed, it really didn't matter. And maybe that's the thought that you have when it comes to traditions. Well, what are traditions? I had to first look at that, and this is a little meaning I got: a commandment or instruction intended as a rule of action or conduct. Well, that didn't help me a whole lot. But really what the idea of a tradition is, it's a way of life. It's a way of doing things. It's something that is being taught to others that this is how something has to be done, or this is the way something should be done. And sometimes when it comes to traditions, we see it, it's just something that always was done. I remember hearing a story a long time ago about a young couple. They got married, and as the woman was one day going to cook a ham, she got the ham ready, and she cut this end off, and then she cut that end off. She put the bigger part into the pan, and then she took the two ends and put them on either side, and she cooked the ham. Her husband said to her, "Why do you do that?" She goes, "I don't know." She says, "That's the way Mom did it." And so one day they were at Mom's, and they got talking to Mom about how you do the ham. And she said, "Yeah, you cut the two ends off, put them on the side, put them in the pan, and cook it." "Why?" She goes, I don't know. That's why Mom did it." And so they finally met Grandmother one day, and they talked to Grandma, and they said, "Grandma, you always cut the ends off the hams, and then you put them on the side, and you cooked them. Why did you always do that?" And she says, "Well, I never had a pot big enough to hold the ham." And so this was something she did, and, you know, the next generation did, and the next generation, and they did it, but nobody knew why they were doing it. And, you know, when it comes to many traditions, that's really what happens. When we come to the Word of God, we find traditions are being mentioned, referred to. And we find, first of all, in Mark chapter 7, the Lord Jesus Christ, when it comes to traditions, he's condemning the traditions. And I want you to think about that. Traditions are being condemned. In Colossians chapter 2, what we read about this is the traditions of the world and traditions of men. And we see a cautioning of the traditions. And yet when we come to 2 Thessalonians, what we read there is the command to keep the traditions. And I was a little bit shocked when I started to look at that, because I thought, well, here we have that traditions are not just always bad, and they're not just always good, and we need to be a little bit careful. And so when it comes to traditions, I need to take a look at these traditions, and I need to ask myself, are these the things that I really need to do? Are these the things that I have to do? And I have found out that some traditions are helpful, some traditions are harmless, and other traditions are harmful. And so you and I, we need to come to the Word of God then, and we need to find out what is it that is required and what is to be discarded. In Mark chapter 7, we have the disciples there, and with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the scribes and the Pharisees are watching them, and they're upset because something's happening and they don't like it. The Lord with his disciples, they are not doing what the elders have taught, the forefathers have taught. They are not behaving in a manner that is normal according to them, that which has been handed down year by year, generation by generation. And so they come to the Lord Jesus and they say, why is it that your disciples do not do the things and are not keeping the traditions of the elders? And the Lord Jesus, he's very, very hard on them. He's very, very straight with them. And he just says, oh, well, has Isaiah spoken about you hypocrites? And he goes on to them about this. He says, you people are happier to keep the traditions that have been handed down to you from man than you are about keeping the word of God. And so we see here, these are the traditions that are being condemned. And they're being condemned very, very soundly. The Lord Jesus Christ, he says this in verse 8, he says, for laying aside the command of God, ye hold the tradition of men. But I think it's kind of interesting because in verse 9 he goes this, he says, full well ye reject the command of God, that ye may keep the tradition of men. So you see this, it's the laying aside of the commands of God, that you may hold the traditions. But then you go to rejecting the commandments of God, that you may keep the traditions. And then when you go a little bit further in verse 13, you see this, making the word of God of none effect. And so we can be so taken up with traditions that our traditions can end up being more meaningful to us than the word of God. And you know, I was thinking about this when it comes to salvation. When it comes to people knowing their sins forgiven through the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a lot of people who will never get saved, who will never come to trust Jesus Christ, who will never come to accept the gospel because of this. The traditions that they were raised up with taught differently. In other words, it could be that someone's sitting here today and you're thinking, well, when it comes to knowing sins forgiven, you could look back to your religious system and you look at the way it was being done. Those are the traditions of men that were being taught. And you might say, well, that's not the way we were taught. Many a times I've spoken to someone about the gospel and how that they can know their sins forgiven through the Lord Jesus Christ. And many times I have heard this, well, that's not the way we were taught. That's not what my mom and dad believed. That's not what my grandfather believed. That's not what our church believed. And you know, then there becomes a challenge in one's life. Am I going to make my decisions based on this? What my church has taught me? My religion has taught me? What my parents have taught me? Or am I going to go to the Word of God and say, well, what does the Bible teach? See, I was challenged with that when I was 27 years old. When suddenly there was a young man that I worked with, he got saved. He come to know sins forgiven through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was a little buddy of mine. And now suddenly he's not living the life that he was living before. And here I was going to church every Sunday. But I wasn't saved. I didn't know sins forgiven. And he started to tell me things that were contrary to what I had been taught. And you know, I had to make a choice. Am I going to listen to the things that he is saying and check it out with the Word of God? Or am I going to hold on to the traditions that I was raised up with? And thankfully, I made that choice. I started to look into the Word of God. And you know, there came a time when I come to trust Jesus Christ as my own Savior. And I realized that the system that I'd been raised up in was not teaching me the Word of God. And I had to make a choice and I had to step out of that. But I also remember the day that a couple weeks later, I drove to the family farm and I went to visit my mom and dad. And I sat at the table with my mom and dad and I told them, you better sit down, I got something to tell you. And I told them of how I come to know my sins forgiven. And I told them how that I was leaving the system that I'd been raised up in. And I wasn't ever going to come back. I had to make a choice. What they had taught me with sincerity. And what they had taught me, they lived in their own life. They were not hypocritical about it. But I had to tell them honestly that I'd come to learn from the Word of God that what they were trusting is not trustworthy. They were relying on the commandments of men. They were trusting in what had been taught from their forefathers. And you know, there's a tremendous pull when it comes to that. I still remember talking to my younger brother about salvation, trying to tell him he needed to be saved. He needed to be born again. And I still remember one evening we're sitting in his car and we're sitting across from the YMCA because we would go there together and work out. And we were just talking there and we parked the car. And I still remember my brother looking at me. He says, listen, he says, I trust our forefathers. I trust our forefathers. And he named the forefathers from hundreds of years before. And what a heartbreak that was for me as he said, I trust our forefathers. You know, I can thankfully say today that a number of years later, he come to look at the Word of God as it was. And he accepted what the Word of God said. And he was saved himself. And then he ended up doing the same thing I did as he went to visit with Mom and Dad and had to tell them too that he was breaking away from the traditions that we had been taught. See, so there's many times there's people who will never break from that tradition. There's many people who are going to hold on to those traditions and they're going to hold on to them to the very end of life. And you know, they're going to go out into eternity without Christ. What are you holding on to tonight? Is it the family traditions? Is it the church traditions, your religious traditions? Or are you holding on to the Word of God? I was visiting with a man one day and talking to him about how that we can know for sure being in heaven. I remember this. He said to me, he says, we can only hope. We can only hope of being in heaven. I said, what are you basing your hope on? He says, well, he says, with all the religions in the world, he says, you just pick one. He says, you put your all into it. You just hope you got the right one. And that's what he was. He was living a life of traditions. He had picked a religion. He was following it. He was doing it. He was just hoping that's the right one. You know, that's not the way it is. Those are the traditions that are condemned by the Lord Jesus Christ. And these traditions, as they were being held by men, as they were being held on so tightly, what they were doing is they were rejecting the Word of God. And many a person has gone out into eternity holding on to traditions. And that's all they have. And traditions won't save you. Traditions won't save you from that place called hell. Traditions won't get you into that place called heaven. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, when it comes to those who are saved, when it comes to those who know their sins forgiven, and when it comes to those who are gathered in a fellowship like that is here, you know, it's not like we suddenly don't have any problem anymore with the traditions. Because like you and I, we all have traditions, we all have background, we all have that which is influencing us, and you know what, we tend to like our traditions. The thing is, I like my traditions better than your traditions, and that sometimes can be a problem because I want my traditions to be kept in, but your traditions might interfere with mine. And you know, sometimes when it comes to a gathering of Christians, we have to be very, very careful. Because while traditions sometimes can be helpful, they can be harmful. And yet, yes, some can be harmless. But how about in our little gathering here? In your little gathering, do you have traditions here? Absolutely. Every one of us, every gathering that is found, there's traditions. Because there are things that we do just because we've done them. For instance, we might have a certain hymn book we like to sing from, and that's the hymn book we choose. The Bible doesn't tell us what hymn book we have to use, and so we have to make a choice. We make a choice, and that becomes a tradition. We might have a different book for the gospel meeting, and that becomes a tradition. We might have a certain time when we gather on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock in the morning, and that becomes a tradition. None of these things are wrong, but a tradition becomes wrong when it becomes a commandment of men. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking about when it comes to these Pharisees and scribes. He says, you know, it's the commandments of men that you're teaching. You're not teaching the Word of God. And so we as Christians, we have to be very, very careful that we don't in our gatherings bring in our own traditions and our own teachings. Understanding traditions being ways of conduct, ways of doing things, rules of action. How are we going to do it? We have to be careful that these things do not become that which becomes more important. In other words, we don't lay aside the Word of God in order to keep our traditions. And I've already pointed out how when the Lord Jesus Christ brings it across, it seems, first of all, it's the laying of aside of the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men. So there's the idea of, someone might say, well, why is it you people do this? You know, why are you holding on to this so tightly? Well, we like to do it. Well, what about the Word of God? Well, the Word of God is over here, but you know, this is the way we like to do it. And then when you're really, really challenged about it, finally what you have to do is you reject the Word of God, say, yeah, look, I don't care what the Bible says. This is the way we're going to do it. Well, yeah, that happens. And then what we see later on in the chapter is, as you make the Word of God of no effect. See, if we're going to reject the Word of God in one place, suddenly the power that it has no effect.